Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want more to feel trees and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest and I felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here.
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio encouraging you. Please send questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, stories, articles, sermons. Pretty much anything that you get in your spam folder, send it to idea@wretched.org. idea@wretched.org. Jimmy.
Yes?
I'm not suggesting I have something just for you.
Ah, you
I'm just saying you might take a particular interest before we get to the mailbag.
Oh, my ears are perked.
You know, you are in a redneck church when? Don't want to suggest why you might know this, but I'm just saying, here are some signs. People wonder when Jesus fed 5,000 whether the two fish were bass or catfish. Now, that's kind of that was a patronizing, Or was it, yeah, tell me something I don't know. Number two sign, the preacher says, I'd like to ask Bubba to help take up the offering, and five guys stand up. That would be a sign right there. A member of the church requests to be buried in his four-wheel truck because it ain't never been in a hole it couldn't get out of. The choir group is known as the OK Corral. Baptism is referred to as branding. Special fundraiser for a new church septic tank. Finding and returning lost sheep, not just a parable. All signs that perhaps you attend, he lovingly says, a redneck church.
Is that all of them?
No, there's more, actually, but I couldn't take any more of your...
I thought you were missing the most important one.
Okay, which one is it?
That Tom Hammond is your pastor.
That could be a sign right there. Speaking of What Time is Purple, a book that Tom Hammond wrote, we're still giving those away if you want to give them away. No kidding, they're no cost. You just go to wretched.org/purple. It's a wonderful evangelistic booklet. Give it away. And I would encourage us to be doing these things lickety-split because daylight seems to be dimming. I think we've got some years, but I think we better make the most of the opportunity to share the gospel while we can, and you can do it. Wretched.org/purple. Order them. You pay for shipping. We'll send them to you, and you just give them away. And send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right. Rebecca has written in, and she says that her husband is unsaved, but he insists that their children have to have an Easter basket and Easter egg hunts.
Oh, boy.
So she wants to know how should she go about keeping Easter about the cross and still be submitting to her husband.
No matter which way you go on the decision of whether or not it is a sin for a kid to participate in those activities, you're still going to need to proceed very, very, very carefully. Is it a sin, definitively, for a child to get a chocolate bunny or to go hunting for eggs? And the answer is no, it's not. But this isn't just an activity and eating some sweets. It's connected to our high holy holiday, which I think is a little bit redundant, actually. This is the day that we should be rejoicing in the most, even more than Christmas, despite all of the energy we put into that particular holiday. And so we think that anything that the secularists do in association with our holiday is abominable. And I am of the mind that it is. It is terrible. I don't like it. I wish, go do Spring Festival, world. Stop calling it Easter. Frankly, quit calling it Christmas holiday. If you do not worship the Lord Jesus Christ, born in a manger, risen from the grave, these are not your holidays. These are the church's holidays. These are not American holidays. This is the church of Jesus Christ, not of Latter-day Saints holidays. They're ours. And if you want to pervert them, go do your own thing. Then bring back Saturnalia and dance around some maypoles, but leave Christ out of it. So I have an opinion on this thing. Now, having said that, I do believe that you would need to decide if you're unequally yoked in this situation. Am I causing or permitting my child to sin by participating in those activities? I think it's a close call, and I think two different Christians are going to go different ways with it. And so you need to make that decision. Now, no matter which way you decide, you're now in the situation where you still want there to be peace in the house. How do you do that? And this doesn't just have to do with this lady's particular unequally yoked situation. It's for all of us on a lot of issues. Can we just make our position clear, let it go, and then live peaceably? And I think that that is what you would be encouraged to do, that would help the temperature of the home keep from boiling over. You can make your position, honey, you know that this holiday, this is when the God-man rose from the dead. And it just so trivializes it for me that it kind of hurts to see the kids trivializing it with these activities. So I just wanted you to know how I feel about it. But you're my husband, and if that's what you want the kids to do, then so be it. And then you can move forward without it being residue-y. Try not to keep bringing it up. Try not to have just the attitude that I would be inclined to have when I wasn't exactly getting my way and something like this were happening. Or if you don't think that it is a sin for your kids to do that, make sure either way that you're teaching them why. Without it becoming World War III in your house, I get it. I get it. I do not like that our world disparages our Christian holidays. I don't like it. But would this be the hill to die on? I don't think so. And this is true whether you're a male or female and you're unequally yoked. You have 1,000 situations like this. Choose wisely, grasshopper. Make sure that you are being thoughtful about how big of a deal this really is. And then go about the business of not contradicting, per se, your spouse. Okay, kids, while your dad is in the restroom, this whole Easter bunny thing, stupid. It's about fertility. Has nothing to do with Jesus Christ rising from the dead. So you need to repent, put your trust in Jesus Christ. Hi, honey, you're back already. You don't need to be doing that. Now, you can tell them along the way in a pleasant manner why you don't particularly care for the manifestation of the celebration in this way, but don't turn it into a complete cataclysmic event in your home. Take a long view and keep praying for your unequally yoked brothers and sisters in your church, because you and I can't imagine the tension and what this feels like to be in a home. You and your spouse, you work through these things when you're on the same page. When you're unequally yoked, it is hard. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
Well, Jim from Connecticut wants to know...
No, Jimmy, I got a question for you.
Oh.
All right. Your wife...
Yes.
...isn't a believer, and she wants to do the Easter basket chocolate egg hunt thing.
Okay.
You're gonna go along with that? Let that take place?
Probably.
How come?
Well, I mean, it's like you said, you in harmony in the home.
Well, I don't want that to override a sin for sure.
Well, yeah, for sure.
Which is why I think you need to decide, just am I causing the kids to participate in a sin? Now, is it teaching the kids something frivolous about Easter? Yeah, it is, but isn't that what VeggieTales do? Sorry. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right. Jim from Connecticut wants to know if it's wise to walk away, for a Christian to walk away from a longtime friendship because of the friend's radical and dogmatic support of abortion.
Who's zooming whom? Who's having more influence on whom? Are you able to be the one who is moving it forward and is thinking, are you helping him to work through the issue better? Is darkness dimming your light, or are you illuminating him in his darkness? That is, to me, that's the test, the litmus test. When you are in a relationship with somebody who's not a believer, you're online witnessing to somebody, you're in a chat room. Who's having more influence on whom? If you start to feel yourself going backwards, you need to get out, run, protect yourself, flee. If you're getting along and you're not being influenced, you can stay in that relationship for as long as you'd like to stay in that relationship. And so the issue to me is who's having the most influence. This is whether or not the issue is abortion. This is whether or not the issue is the gospel itself, any theological issue. Let's say you're into a theological debate on somebody regarding annihilationism, and suddenly you find yourself going, well, maybe that kind of maybe there is an internal languishing in a lake of sulfur. Maybe we do get, time to pull the plug. Get out. That is not to admit defeat. That is to be wise and not let yourself be persuaded into really bad thinking or believing. Would love it if you'd send your questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, stories, articles, sermons, whatever. Send it, please, to idea@wretched.org, and we will see if your mail appears next on Wretched Radio.
Well, are you tired of all the chewed up furniture in your house? Would you like to get your new puppy trained? Well, we cannot help you with that, but what we can do is improve your marriage, help you become a better parent, help to improve your theology, and help you to learn to control your emotions, all with our new Wretched Bible Studies, which were derived from our resources Drive By Marriage, Drive By Parenting, Drive By Theology, Jesus Unmasked, and Stressed Out. These studies are perfect for youth groups, adult Bible studies, and of course, your own personal Bible studies at home. Get one or all of these studies right now at wretched.org/study. That's wretched.org/study. Now, while we can't do anything about your dog chewing the leg off your couch, what we can do is help you learn how to react more biblically to that. So just go to wretched.org/study. That's wretched.org/study.
Numbers. Who doesn't love numbers? Okay, I don't, and maybe you don't either, but you are going to be thrilled at these statistics from preborn.org. Since 2007, there have been over 500,000 pregnancy tests. Whoa. 42,000 women have professed faith in Jesus Christ, and over 123,000 babies' lives were saved. You can have a direct impact on the battle for life in a country that is increasingly opposed to life. While the government is busy trying to take the lives of more children, you and I can be saving babies and saving mommies, because Preborn, they provide free ultrasounds, and they also preach the gospel. Babies get saved, and so do mommies. Would you please help grow these numbers by supporting Preborn? You can do that at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning in and listening to Wretched Radio today. We certainly appreciate you and all the time and effort you spend supporting Wretched. And one other way you can continue to support Wretched is by participating in our gospel booklet sale. That's right, our warehouse is moving a little bit later on this year, and you can help us not have to move all these gospel booklets that we have on hand. Somewhere near 100,000 gospel booklets are filling our warehouse right now, and we have the risk of having to move them. So, you know, our backs might hurt. So we have deeply discounted all of our gospel booklets. You can pick up You Might Be a Rotten Fish, The Man Who Split Time, 13 Reasons Not to Commit Suicide, or Don't Stub Your Toe at deeply discounted prices. And What Time is Purple is always free. So stop by the Wretched store at wretched.org and take advantage of these deeply, deeply discounted prices and help us not have to move them to our new warehouse. Which, you know, is just code for Todd might break a nail or a sweat. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Know your reformers. Ulrich Zwingli was a Swiss reformer who pioneered expository preaching, introduced the regulative principle, and brought a republican government to Switzerland. He fought against the Roman Catholic Church for theological and political independence and died in battle.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Jokes aside, there's something more than charming about this. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, there are indeed more signs that you attend a redneck church.
And, they've all been true so far.
But this is, I have to confess to you, what actually makes me a wee bit jealous of my brothers and sisters who aren't in insane asylums known as major metropolitan areas, where there's some traditions, there's family, there's closeness. Those are blessings. And I think that we've lost that so much in our rather overcrowded world. And I have to confess, I'm more than a little bit nostalgic for them. So, for instance, you know that you're in a redneck church when four generations of the same family sit together and worship.
Yeah.
That ain't a bad thing, y'all. That's a beautiful, sweet thing. That's a wonderful thing. Why is it that we see... Now, I don't have statistics on this, but these days that doesn't matter, does it? You just make the claim and that's the end of the story. I wonder about multi-generation families, if we see more of them in rural areas than we do in urban centers. I suspect we do, and that's a beautiful thing. Here's another one. There's no such thing as a secret sin. That's a good thing, isn't it? When it rains, everyone is smiling. Because prayers regarding the weather are standard practice. Well, you're going through life, you're struggling together. That's just another thing that you've got in common. You all have a bit of an investment in the weather because it's crop production based on the rain. Look at the sweetness from this. You don't see much. Here's what we've got. This is what we've got in Atlanta church. Oh, man. School traffic, huh? Something, isn't it? 45 minutes. Took me 45 minutes. Normally takes me 30 without school traffic. I'll tell you, COVID's been kind of nice, though, with the traffic because not as many people are driving. That's what we've got. And it's fine. It just seems there's something a little bit richer and deeper about relying on God for the rain, for the sustainability of your livelihood. Don't overlook the blessings of being in a, quote, redneck church. I think they're kind of sweet, to be honest. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right. This is a two-parter. From Mike, he says he wants to know, are there specific Bible verses that may point to church membership? And what's the difference between someone who faithfully attends services and loves his church but hasn't signed on the dotted line of membership?
Well, some hosts might be inclined to say you're sinning. And you need to become a member of a local church. I think I would be one of those. You say you've got to have Bible verses. Don't make a law where there is no law. I agree wholeheartedly. But a law can be deduced from the totality of Scripture. We know the example. The word Trinity is not used in our Bible. And what do we see, however? We see the Father as a person, distinct from the Son, who's a person, distinct from the Holy Spirit, who's a person. And so you have to conclude Trinitarian theology. And that is not done because there's a specific Bible verse that says God is one yet three persons. We don't have the Athanasian Creed in the New Testament. We've deduced it from the New Testament, and so it is with church membership. Jesus tells Peter that he's going to build his church on the confession of faith. Not on Peter, but on his profession of faith. Matthew 16. That thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. First time we see the word church being used. Immediately upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we see the word church now appearing all throughout the New Testament, starting in the book of Acts chapter 2, when the church got together and they shared all things in common. Not that they were socialists, but if you had need, we figured out a way to get it to you so we could help you and you can help me when I'm in need, because we're Christians and we sacrifice and we esteem others as better than ourselves. And then we see Paul visiting churches around the Mediterranean. We see epistles written to churches all throughout the Middle East, all the way over to the Roman church in the book of Revelation, one of the first three chapters. Letters to churches, a local assembling of people, not a building, but a local assembling of people. You say that's not enough. That doesn't mean church membership. I would then point you to Matthew 18, 1 Corinthians 5, where we see church discipline being described, where if you are a sheep who is wayward and straying, you are in an unrepentant sin, you could be, if you fail to repent, set outside of the body. How can you be set outside of the body if you're not inside of the body? There has to be some sort of formal process of you being a part of this affiliation. Otherwise, you can't be set apart from it. And so I think the deduction from the Bible is the Christian is called upon to be a member of a local church for your own safety, for the health of the church, for the testimony of the church. Be a member of a body of Jesus Christ locally. Find the best church you can, join it, commit to it, give to it, work for it, be ministered to as you minister to others. It is a huge blessing. In fact, it was a guy, Daniel Ray, W-R-A-Y, written in 1981 or 1983. He was talking about the beauty of the local church. Perhaps you haven't wanted to become a member of a local church because you haven't seen the urgency of it in these verses that I have shared with you. But I want you to perhaps get an understanding of the local church that should make you long for being a member of a local church. The Church of Jesus Christ, not of Latter-day Saints, has Jesus Christ as its head. That we're married together with Christ. That's an institution that I think I'd like to be a part of. Who's the president? Jesus? How do you get into that club? How's about the fact that he died for it? How's about the fact that it must be precious if he shed his blood for it? How's about the fact that God is using the church for his eternal plan, that one day he will collect together everybody of every tribe, language, tongue, together as a great sea of witnesses, a great sea of professors in the Lord Jesus Christ, to demonstrate he's the only one that could pull off something like this. Critical theory can't, Jesus can. And so this church will be gathered together from out the ages, from out different nationalities and nations, as one in Christ Jesus. The plans of the church are great. Why aren't you a member of one? Now, I know you're a member of the church by virtue of being a believer. I grant you that. But because of the aforementioned verses, you should be a member of a local church for your own safety. And I believe that it is indeed a deduced command from the Bible. Would I say that somebody's a heretic and living in unrepentant sin if they disagree with me? No, I wouldn't. But I would try to continue to lift up those verses and the beauty of the local church. What did the psalmist say about the tabernacle, the temple in Jerusalem, when the Jews were meeting? Sacrifices were being burned up. Most beautiful place in the world. And what exactly is the temple? It's just a picture of Jesus Christ, who templed, who tabernacled among his people, who died, rose again, and now sends his Holy Spirit to live inside of individual temples, who come together as a collective temple when we meet, when we do not forsake the assembling of the saints on Sunday, as was the habit of the church on Resurrection Sunday. Look at what you are doing when you go to church on Sunday. You are a part of the most beautiful place on earth. You are doing the most noble and beautiful thing a human being can do when you go to church on Sunday. Did you know that? You are hearing from God through the mouth of a sinful man, through the right application of his inspired Bible, and then responding to that by singing the highest form of art that a human being can concoct. Beautiful lyrics, theologically based, sung to God with beautiful instrumentation. That is the highest endeavor of a human being. That's what you're doing Sunday morning. Why don't you want to be a member of that? We have perhaps become far too consumeristic, even as we go about the business of slapping the consumer mindset of so many in evangelical Christianity. If you're not willing to be a member of a local church, then maybe, just maybe, you need to remember what it is that we have a privilege of being a part of. And if you don't mind, There is a movement going on right now in Eastern Europe to revitalize that local church. This is what parachurch ministry should be about. Promoting the local church. Tomorrow Clubs. Would like to encourage you, if you love the local church and you'd love to see the local church in Eastern Europe flourish, Tomorrow Clubs, they're kids meeting clubs. Every week they get together. They're about 90% full steam right now because of the whole COVID business. They're still getting together, doing all the safety stuff, but they're meeting with the kids, sharing the gospel. The kid gets saved, and guess what? They take it home to mom and dad. They end up getting saved, and the local church is strengthened because the Tomorrow Clubs are done in conjunction with a local church. It's $30 a month, 30 disciples. If you are not sponsoring one yet, please consider doing so. It is a way to love little kids and the local church. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. David Evans, the pastor of a Baptist church in Oklahoma, was killed hours after preaching a sermon telling his congregation to go out and live for Jesus and witness as much as possible. Also in the sermon, Evans warned that the devil would try to destroy those who are actively working for Jesus and urged his congregants to expect difficulties. Evans wrote a sermon around a recent trip he took to Mexico, where he said he saw the power of God at work firsthand. In his sermon, Evans also focused heavily on the story of Lazarus. The Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation noted in a press release stating that they are conducting a full investigation into his death, but they believe it is likely a homicide. According to a news story, churchgoers and his family members are reportedly baffled by Evans' death, many remembering him as a kind person who they couldn't imagine as having any enemies. One congregant speculated he was probably helping the person who killed him. A judge in Algeria upheld a 5-year prison sentence earlier this week for a Christian convicted of reposting a cartoon of Islam's prophet on his Facebook account 3 years ago. Farid Kamisti, who was the attorney for Hamid, his last name was withheld from the story for security reasons, said the 43-year-old father of 4 young children appeared to have received the heavy sentence because he was a Christian. The court also upheld his fine of $750. Kamisti said the judge and prosecutor were visibly upset when he suggested to them that they were handing down a heavy sentence because Hamid was a Christian. He noted that Hamid was not the creator of the cartoon that he had received and reposted in 2018. Kamisti said he asked the judge what the sentence would be if Hamid were the author of the cartoon, and he said that it would be the same, as Article 144 of Algeria's penal code stipulates that 5 years is the maximum penalty for insulting Muhammad. Article 144 has been condemned by numerous human rights organizations as a violation of international law, and pro-democracy group Freedom House said the article was commonly used to persecute Christians and allowed police officials and judges to impose their religious perspectives on society and to give at least one version of Islamic practice the force of law. Hamid was accused by an Islamist extremist with whom he had done business. Appearing shaken by the ruling, Kamisti said that he would not have defended Hamid if he were not convinced of his innocence. He also said that after consulting with Hamid's family, he would decide whether to appeal to a court of cassation, which would not re-examine the facts, but has latitude to interpret them differently. He could also appeal to the Supreme Court. Hamid is a poultry farmer with children ages 6, 4, 3, and 3 months. And as always, continue to pray for our brothers and sisters abroad. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Important dates in Christian history. 1830. Charles Finney's urban revivals begin and introduce techniques that decisively affect later mass evangelism in America. Finney's innovations included the anxious bench, a forerunner to altar calls, and the use of emotional manipulation to elicit a decision for Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Send them, please. Send them to idea@wretched.org. This is wretched.org. Now, how providential is that? The email address for sending questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks, idea@wretched.org. And this program is actually called Wretched. Do you see how providence works? Right there. Questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, sent to idea@wretched.org.
Well, Xavier has a pretty good question. Previously, on a previous show, you mentioned honoring your parents But he says, what if you have abusive parents that abused you physically and mentally as a child and parents even as an adult that don't care about you and just want your money or the things you can do for them?
Without responding directly to you, Xavier, because I don't know the situation. And in this instance, it would be a Proverbs 18:17 violation to only hear one side of the story. Let me speak in generalities. I call it toxic parenting. There is a time when parents become so toxic, please note, so toxic, that you have to, after loving warnings, probably repeated, separate from them for the safety of your family sometimes, for the safety of you sometimes, and for just peace and harmony, or if they are perpetually seeking to undermine your Christian values, what you're trying to instill in your children. There can be a time when it becomes so toxic. Now, why do I keep emphasizing so? Because all parents, to a degree, are toxic, meaning they sin. Nobody does this thing perfectly. We're inclined to think we do, but the reality is we don't, and we sin against our kids. And that is why children are given the commandment that they are given, to honor father and mother, because we can indeed make them bonkers, which is the commandment to parents. Train them up in the way that they should go, and don't provoke your children to anger. And it's clear that we parents can provoke our kids to anger. And it's also clear that kids need to forgive those provocations and continue to honor them, which is why I put the emphasis on so toxic. Be thoughtful, be careful, seek counsel from your elders, because you do not want to separate from your parents unnecessarily. Too much of that going on these days in good Christian homes. This is something that I was banging away on at the Teach Them Diligently conference, which I was at in Nashville about a week ago. Get to be in, it's right outside of Austin, Texas. Going to be really, it's at the zippity-doo with the water thing and the animals walking around, the Kalahari Hotel Resort place. We did that once. We got a screaming deal at the Wisconsin Dells. We had a riot when the kids were little. Don't think I'll be going down the water slides this time. That would frighten the little children. But I get to be there for the Teach Them Diligently conference. I believe it's like the 22nd and 23rd of April. I also believe it's the 25th of April. I get to be at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Bryan, Texas, which is right next to College Station. If you're familiar with that, their territory. Get to meet Emmanuel Baptist Church on Sunday morning. The dates are, I'm looking at it, 23 and 24, Teach Them Diligently, 25 at Emmanuel Baptist Church. Would love to see you there, if and you can join us. And I will be really encouraging parents to work together to create a culture that encourages kids to honor parents. Please don't let that become the mantra of your church. We're changing the name. It used to be First Baptist Church or Bible Community Church. Now it's Honor Your Parents Church. Now, don't let that become like your bang, bang, bang. But mom and dad, you need some help. You need other people encouraging your kids to do what the Bible commands, and that is to honor them. I'll be talking about that at Teach Them Diligently and encourage you. If you perhaps, now please note, historically, I have encouraged parents to repent to their kids that are separated from them, disenfranchised from the faith. Parents who repent to their kids, oof, it makes a huge impact. But let me speak to you, son or daughter. If you have separated from your parents and they have not been so toxic, they've just been, you know, average sinful parents, then you have some repenting to do too, because you're called upon to honor them. And shutting them down, shutting them out, is not honoring. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this one comes from Lisa, who's wondering, when witnessing, what's the best way to approach someone if they start asking about their loved one who has recently passed and rejected the gospel?
Yep. I think you need to do your best to shelve the question. I maybe you can have such a tone that you can say to them, the Bible is clear. Anybody who does not repent and put their trust in Jesus Christ will here depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Now, maybe you can tell that to somebody who you're witnessing to, and it wouldn't cause them to just be like so jarred. My preference is, because I don't have that skill, would be to say, you know, that is a great question. But if you don't mind, I'd like to just focus on you for a moment. Let's forget people. Let's forget parents, anybody else that we're related to. The issue is between you and God. And most times, Lisa, my experience is people just, they kind of forget about it and then they just move on. People synapse talk all the time. Hey, what about this? What about, I heard about telephone. What about the Catholic priests? Hey, what about the Crusades? Hey, what about my parents? If they didn't, a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times, it's just, and I find if you just try to move on, refocus it back to them, that is the best way to deal with it. I guess a third option would be you could tell them the story of Rich Man and Lazarus, and that if your parents are indeed in hell, which is a tough thing to even say, it's hard, let's be honest, they would want you to listen to me. They'd want you to hear me. I guess that would be an option, depending on your personality. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org.
All right, from Nick. He wants to know if it's a sin to listen to secular podcasts to get other forms of advice and motivation.
Yeah. Yeah. Question, Nick. Why don't you have a podcast that you're listening to that gives you biblical advice, which is the superior advice? Because anytime you're listening to a secular program and they stumble over a nugget and you go, hey, that's a good one. First of all, it has to align with the Bible. If it doesn't, it's worthless. So anything that you hear on a secular podcast, you've got to be filtering it through what does the Bible say about this? And then I would simply ask the question, why listen for an occasional nugget from a secularist when you can listen to somebody teaching the Bible and get definitive wisdom? Maybe it is not delivered in the package that is your particular cup of tea. In other words, I like podcasts. I don't like preaching. Well, preaching is better. Preaching. The word of God will be better for you than mere musings of anybody, frankly. It's got to be backed up by the Bible. So you're going to get the most wisdom from programs and podcasts that are Bible-based. Please note, if they aren't doing it that way, even if they call themselves Christian, you should find another source, because you want your knowledge to be coming from a definitive source, God himself. And if you listen to some, I get it. So right now, somebody who's growing in popularity is Jordan Peterson. He's got his own podcast now. Does Jordan ever say anything right? Yeah, of course he does. He did lots of stuff that is like, hey, that's good, but how do I know it's good? Only because the Bible says so. But then you've got the issue of the stuff that he says that isn't biblical, and it can sound kind of right, but it's not really. How do you know? You've got to filter it all through the Bible, and that is why I just keep coming back to find your podcast source, your preaching and your teaching source that is Bible-based. It will be better for you. It might not be as amusing. It might not be packaged as captivatingly as a secularist does, but it will be better for you. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
Todd, should Christians follow their intuition?
Define intuition. See, you would just go, well, no, don't go on a hunch, don't go on a feeling. But you've got to be, I think, a little bit more thoughtful than that, because our brains are filled with all kinds of experiences and knowledge and wisdom and bad truth also, which is falsehoods, Todd. But it's all there. You see something, boom, you get a feeling, you get a thought. And it can be a cumulative thing. Now, that feeling, what I'm seeing up here is not good. But it's probably not just a feeling. If you mean intuition, like there, it is not informed at all through your brain. It's just my gut. First of all, I doubt it is just your gut. But nevertheless, no, you don't just trust your gut, if that's what you mean. Having said that, your gut might be the first thing, the first alarm that goes off to indicate what your brain is thinking. So if you've got an intuition about something, don't go, well, I'm just going to go with that because that's my intuition is usually right. I got to follow my heart. All right, listen to your intuition, but then check it. Run it through a filter, a biblical filter. Run it through your noggin over and over again. Get wise biblical counsel from other people to see if your feeling is correct or not, because sometimes it might not. In both instances, the only way that you will know definitively is if you put your feelings through a cognitive process. Christianity is not mystical. It is a thinking religion. And yes, sometimes our thinking causes thoughts, but we've got to circle back and make sure that our feelings are based in truth. This is Wretched Radio. Yes, you're busy, but I suspect you could spare 2 minutes if it saved you $500 a month. Please call MediShare for 120 seconds and they will give you a quote on affordable biblical health sharing, an alternative to health insurance. You get free telehealth services, a huge network of doctors, customer support, people praying for you, and 400,000 members sharing one another's health burdens. That is what MediShare is about. And on average, you will save, whether you are a single or a family, $500 per month. It will take you 2 minutes to make a phone call and find out how you could be saving and have peace of mind. Got 2 minutes? Call 844-34-BIBLE. 844-34-BIBLE.
Well, you know the old saying about men not stopping to ask for directions, or men not really asking for help from anybody in general? Well, as a man, there's some truth in that. But let me also break down all those barriers right now by asking for your help. Not with directions, but with Wretched. See, we can't do what we do at Wretched without the help and support of God's people just like you. 83% of every dollar you give goes directly to ministry. Now, that's not us bragging. That's an ECFA fact. Because we're ECFA approved. Check for yourself. And from one man to all of you, would you please prayerfully consider becoming a Wretched Gospel Partner today? All you have to do is visit wretched.org/donate or text the word Wretched to the number 44321. That's wretched.org/donate or text the word Wretched to the number 44321.
You say Edith in Romania, they say Edith.
Burdened by the hopelessness surrounding her, Edith prayed for a way to bring the gospel to Çakale. Since she started in 2008, she has discipled more than 100 children in this small village, and countless lives have been changed.
If you have never been to Romania, permit me to draw the picture. Think poor, forsaken, dead town in the middle of nowhere. That is where the Tomorrow Clubs thrive. Kids clubs bringing the gospel to small villages. The kids get saved. The parents get saved. The church gets revitalized. And this is happening all over Eastern Europe, courtesy of the Tomorrow Clubs and you. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Clubs? TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. Titus was an apprentice and fellow missionary with Paul, left on the island of Crete to organize the churches there. The Book of Titus is a manual regarding the character, behavior, and doctrine of church leaders and church members. All of these commands are grounded in the gospel of Jesus Christ, what he has done for us, and who we are in him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org. And hey, as long as you're at wretched.org, or at least sort of close, I don't know how all this internet gobbledygook works, but you could visit wretched.org and get some gospel booklets. Please, for the sake of our sciaticas, please help us to not have to move boxes and pallets. Oh, gospel booklets. We're moving our warehouse, and wow! We didn't think the ordering process through very well, because we just had a bunch of reorders on all of our gospel booklets that we encourage you to give away. The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, Don't Stub Your Toe, Are You a Rotten Fish, 13 Reasons to Not Commit Suicide, What Time is Purple. We ordered a lot, all at the same time. Now we have to move them, so encouraging you to share our burdens. There it is, Jimmy. Going to wretched.org. And taking advantage of our booklet sale, it's biblical because you'll be sharing our burdens. If you don't, you'll be sinning. So, hey, totally up to you what you want to do with the booklet sale at wretched.org while you're sending emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right. This one's from Jameson. She's currently a sophomore in high school and recently received an email from the student government asking that they change their usernames on Zoom to display their preferred pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
So she's wondering, should I do this? Should I use pronouns with my classmates?
I feel that. I really do. And if you think Jameson is alone on this, don't worry. It's going to hit you too. I don't know in what form this is going on in businesses where you have to wear a little name tag with your preferred pronouns. And I know how that makes us feel. I know it. And we know that we are simply affirming insanity. Well, that's the world that we're living in. It's insane that we can't identify genders scientifically and just naturally, that we can't observe and go, yep, that's a pink and that's a blue. Nope. Our world has just checked out from reality and observing nature and then coming up with a worldview in alignment with it. Those processes seem to be mostly extinct these days, and that's the world that we're living in. You need to ask yourself the question, am I participating in their insanity by going along with their pronoun game? Am I endorsing sin? Am I participating in sin? You better conclude that. I would like to encourage you, it depends perhaps on the situation. It depends on what they're asking you to do. There's a difference in putting his on your name tag and calling a dude who used to be a chick a boy's pronoun. That's a different thing. And as I think the two sides on that, which is why I just have to put it into the adiaphora category. It just has to be a disputable dispensation. Some Christians are going to go, no, then I'm helping them to be insane. I can't do that. On the other hand, you could say because they are insane, I'm just going along so that they don't go ballistic. And I think this illustration helps if it can be done tastefully. You are in a mental institution, whatever they call them these days. I know we don't have many of them, but nevertheless, there's somebody, you work there to help people. And this person, he thinks he's a giraffe. That's his mental malady. He thinks he's a giraffe. If you don't call him Mr. Longneck, he gets very upset. What would you do? Are you really affirming that he's a giraffe? Or are you just living peaceably among men? I think we're going to all need to make that decision sooner than later. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, you got to follow me on this one. This one's from Ben. He says, when we're in heaven, since we know that there are people in hell and there is no sadness in heaven, will we be happy that there are people in hell?
I'm not tracking.
Yeah, I wasn't either. I had to read it twice.
it's a great question, and we absolutely will be happy in heaven. What? How can that be? Our thinking will finally be in alignment with God's. Please note, I don't think should we have this ability to look beyond the gates of hell that we are going to be in heaven tittering. Good. Oh, look at him get it. Oh, yeah. No, that's not it. But we will, because we will have a better understanding of righteousness and justice. We will be able to see that what God has done is right and it is good. I fully get it. But right now, we have a pretty robust understanding, not as deep as I think we need to or could, but a pretty decent understanding of how horrible hell is. I think that if you had to put it on a scale, our appreciation for justice and righteousness is actually less than our limited appreciation for hell. I think we need to grow in both categories. And at some point, your understanding of righteousness and justice on earth and in heaven will help you see that eternal conscious torment is precisely right. Why? Because we will get God better. We will understand how wicked sinfulness is, how it is an assault on the best being in the universe. What are the endless delights of heaven? Do you know? I think we sometimes tend to fall into either we're just going to be ethereal beings, strumming the harps, you know, maybe tiptoeing on clouds with some fat babies that are flying around, or we're just going to be caught in an endless 24/7 worship loop. I don't think that's quite right. How do we worship God? Is it by praising and singing? Yes. Will that be going on in heaven? Yes, it will. Is that all we will be doing? No, it's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. There will be nothing less on earth than there is currently. It'll be better. We will do work, but without thorns. We will have relations, but without acrimony. We will have jobs, but without the frustration. We will enjoy art without thinking and celebrating human beings. We're not going to worship the celebrity singer. There will be singers, but they're not going to be celebrities. All of it will be done, and we will enjoy all of it as we enjoy it for what it is, a gift from God, an extension from his kind, benevolent hand. And so you and I are going to be going about doing tasks and chores and assignments, relationships, food preparation, doing jobs, building perhaps whatever the infrastructure might be, don't know. All of those things you'll do no less in heaven than you're currently doing on earth. But the best part is we are going to love all of those things more because they'll be done the way that they're supposed to be, because God will have righted everything through the work of his Son. And as we do that, we're going to be loving him more and loving him more and loving him more and more grateful and more thankful and more fond of and more absolutely in awe of how amazing he is. Now you see somebody in hell and you realize that is so exactly right, because we have a better understanding of righteousness, justice, and the character and the nature and the goodness of God himself. So you won't be sad in heaven when you even know that loved ones will be in hell. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, let's stay on this topic of hell. From Thomas, he's wondering if there are varying severities of punishment in hell.
Yeah, it'll be worse for the towns of. If they had seen everything that I am doing, they would have repented. Bethsaida, Chorazin, they would have. It's gonna be worse for you. What does that imply? That there are worse things. Furthermore, I can think of Jesus talking to Pontius Pilate. We don't know to whom he's referring, but when he says that one, probably the one who, it could have been Judas Iscariot, who was the traitor, or it could have been Caiaphas, who was the one who participated in the scheme. Pilate didn't. He was confronted with it, and he had less guilt. Furthermore, we see that some sins, biblically, while all being atrocious, have varying levels of atrociticity. You go ahead and Google that one. You'll find it eventually. There are some sins that are worse than others. Furthermore, what do we see? 1 Corinthians 3:4, that there will be works that make it into heaven. There's going to be different rewards. There will be crowns for people. And so we see that there are varying degrees of eternal joy and eternal damnation based on the severity of sin. Knowledge would be another category, how much somebody knew, because unto whom much is given, much is expected. So if you've got a lot of truth and you reject it, it's going to be way worse for you. And don't we see that, by the way, with Jesus doing miracles and teaching parables instead of theology? Because they would have been even more guilty of rejecting him because they would have had more knowledge. So as an act of kindness, he spoke in parables so that they couldn't be more guilty for their sins of having more knowledge and experience that for eternity in hell. So all that to say, yes, there will be. And having said all that, now that we've spent several minutes talking about hell, please warn your loved ones. Tell them you don't want to see them there. Plead with them. Cry for them. And let them know there is a way to escape it because of the benevolence of the best being in the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.